Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 28th of August, recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, the big important influences here on global stock markets, and indeed some of the other markets, are, of course, the military buildup and the bellicose comments that have been coming from the United States and its closest allies, such as the UK and France in this situation, regarding Syria's chemical weapons, gas attacks. Now, this is a situation that's fraught with peril, in my opinion. I won't go into all the reasons for that, but I have commented on it extensively yesterday and again here today. It is certainly a cloud overhanging investor sentiment here in the near term. And the biggest risk as a consequence of all this is the rise that we're seeing in crude oil prices. That's a real and tangible cost. And also, we see scope for a further destabilizing of political developments in the Middle East. And there's plenty of that already. Now, the other factor overhanging markets right now is, of course, what the U.S. Fed is going to do regarding its quantitative easing program. In other words, are they going to taper QE next month, or are they going to postpone it at least until December? Now, my own view is that with the prospect of an attack on the Syrian Air Force facilities, both their military airports and their helicopters and military planes. But having announced this, I just say as an aside here that I'd be surprised if Syria wasn't already in the process of moving plenty of those planes to hide them. But this is the big immediate concern over the markets, and it's likely to keep prices under pressure here over the medium term, although we had a little bit of respite here today. And if I give a quick run through some of these indices, for instance, in the Asia Pacific region, we saw declines pretty much across the board. It's easier to mention the exceptions. Indonesia, which had hit a new reaction low, but then closed up nearly 1.5%. And we also saw India's Sensex, which has certainly been weak, and that hit a reaction low, but then closed somewhat higher. But the trouble is the currency was in a meltdown phase. Therefore, anyone who lives outside of India would have been a loser on today's small bounce in the Sensex index. And the other one up that's slightly higher, and it's only a tiny percentage, is Taiwan. And we had some big hits in Japan, down about 1.5% across the main indices. Hang Seng down 1.6, 1.25% down for the Shanghai Composite. Sorry, that's the Shenzhen Composite. And the more important Shanghai Composite was only very slightly lower, about 0.1%. And elsewhere, it's Australia down just over 1%, Thailand down 1.4%, and the Philippines down a whopping 3%. Now, the best you can say about some of those indices is that they are oversold at where they've been hit so hard. And then looking into the future, big sell-offs always create good buying opportunities. And it's worth beginning to think about that right now. And I'll just want to repeat a point that I've mentioned so often in these audios and also in my comment of the day write-ups, is that the best time to lighten positions, if you're ever going to do that, is when shares or indices are clearly moving considerably above their rising 200-day moving averages, which represent an approximate trend mean. So when you get the enthusiastic moves, and we saw a lot of those in May, for instance, we had all the, the certainly high-flying ASEAN indices were well above their 200-day moving averages, as were many of the favored consumer-oriented autonomies among individual shares. And those moves are unsustainable. This is the closest you get to a law of gravity here in the stock markets. Now, at this stage, looking at the ASEAN indices and also looking at India, I would say that the sell-off has gone far enough now so that if you have positions in those markets, it's too late to be considering selling, in my opinion. They could easily go lower. They probably will go lower. But would one buy back at the lower levels? My feeling is that in terms of new money, that while we've seen everybody fleeing the emerging market sector really since May, that means that it will bounce back quite strongly once we move away from this sell-off phase overall. Again, I'll emphasize that hasn't happened yet, but it is a developing situation of interest. In terms of valuations generally, these have gone from being higher than the U.S. in many instances back in May to valuations now clearly being somewhat lower, and they may move a little bit lower still. And while the currencies have frightened away, the weakness of the currencies have frightened away so many investors, we have to remember that that will be of benefit to those economies and a number of the shares, for instance, that are exporters. Well, let's take one Indian company, because there's no doubt that India's economy is in a bit of a mess now with the currency in free fall. But let's take Tata Consultancy, which Owen has often mentioned. Now, over 90% of its sales are overseas. And actually, I think 56% of those sales go to the United States. So just think of what a competitive position Tata Consultancy is in right now. This is also reflected in its share price. But if you're holding that share, you will have, and are not an Indian resident or citizen, you will have seen the currency certainly wipe out a chunk of the gains that have actually taken place in the share price. But over the next few years, assuming that the certainly as the Indian rupee begins to lose downside momentum, shares like Tata Consultancy and others that have a lot of overseas sales are going to do exceptionally well, in my opinion. Okay, what about Europe in this action here today? Mostly to the downside, although it's certainly encouraging to see that the Italian MIB index was up almost 1%, had a tiny gain in the Spanish IPEX, and among the bigger declines, German DAX index down 1% and the Swiss SMI down 1.4%, but mostly mostly quieter activity here in Europe. But the problem is in Europe, as well as so many of the Asian markets that I was mentioning previously, is that we see those highs, mostly in May, and then we had a good big sharp sell-off and then a good rebound, but forming a lower high in June or earlier this month, and then falling away from those lower highs subsequently. So it's certainly a deterioration in overall technical performance, and that's consistent, I think, with this choppy, more risky environment that I've mentioned. There were plenty of reasons for stock markets to be underperforming here right now, not least concern over earnings growth and concern over Fed tapering policy. But the Syrian situation and the Middle East generally has raised those concerns overall. Incidentally, on the tapering issue, I think with U.S.-led bombing of those Syrian military bases currently being forecast for the to occur reasonably soon, I think talk of tapering in September really is premature. There are too many uncertainties around, and there isn't a strong case in terms of sufficient GDP growth to make it a mandatory situation. The data is mixed, as you know, but these uncertainties that I've been discussing will compound investor caution generally, and that's going to be reflected in GDP growth in all likelihood at in the fourth quarter of the year. Now, whereas previously people were really quite optimistic about that, it depends how much of a reaction we get and how conditions in the Middle East develop. But I would say that's the outlook is going to be turbulent for a while longer. Okay. Government bond yields, they have come lower in the last week or so, but they pushed up here a little bit today. And I think what we have to remember is that this is a bear market, and most of the surprises are going to be to the upside. If GDP growth were to slow significantly in the fourth quarter, and that's not a forecast, but it's not it is a risk subject to what actually happens with the price of crude oil, which is too firm, and also what repercussions develop following any attack against Syria's military those will obviously be crucial factors. Okay, moving on quickly here and taking a look at the commodity markets. I mentioned crude oil a couple of times, but I haven't mentioned the prices. The WTI, that's the U.S. price, that had pushed up to $112.24 earlier today, but then did pull back to 109.57. But the more important one is Brent, and that closed out at 116, just above 116. It had been a dollar and a quarter higher than that early on, but this is a clear headwind here particularly for the European and Asian economies among the industrialized sectors. A concern. And with every additional dollar to the upside over the next few weeks, you can be sure that there will be some growing economic impact as a consequence. Now, industrial metals are softer in here today again, and they've been moving down. It's nickel and aluminium, two of the most important ones that have been leading this move to the downside. They're pulling back towards the small basey looking patterns that had occurred, which should contain downside risk, but we won't know for sure until we see the next rebound in prices. Copper is reasonably steady here overall at 331.75. That's down just slightly here today. And precious metals, which have been star performers in here, if we get to chaos in the Middle East, that will drive them higher, I think, almost certainly. I've said in most of these audios that I think we certainly have conclusive evidence that we've seen the lows in the precious metals sector. They will be susceptible to a pullback and a consolidation of recent gains, sort of a base formation or right-hand extension phase to the sort of V-bottom type of pattern that we have seen so far. But the sector also looks like a safe haven once again. People haven't thought of it in that context in recent years. And in the important U.S. Staple grains and beans, prices had pushed a little higher on hot weather. And that's more of a problem for soybeans, which are slightly higher in here today and really led the rally overall because the crop matures later than corn and wheat. And prices for corn and wheat fell back a little bit. So again, we're still on course for a good U.S. Corn and wheat yields. But again, you know, the ripening process hasn't been completed, let alone the harvesting. So it's too soon to be overly confident, but the evidence is basically encouraging. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.